This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Madama Butterfly by Giacomo Puccini is one of the most popular operas in the world. Set in Japan in the early 1900s, it tells the story of a young Japanese girl who marries an American naval officer, only to later be faced with heartbreak. The opera will be staged here from the 22nd to the 25th of November by the Kuala Lumpur City Opera. Joining me today are Cecilia Yap, who is playing the lead role of Chio-Chio-san, Samantha Chong, who's playing Suzuki, and the show's music conductor, Juan Montoya. How are you all today?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
I'm good. I think the best place to start would be for those of us who don't know, what is the story of Madama Butterfly?
Okay. Everybody's looking at me, so I go first. So the story, as you mentioned, happened in Nagasaki. The history comes from, actually, it's a writer, John Luther Long. That's the person who wrote the first story. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a very short tale based on like stories he heard from his sister that she used to live back in Japan for a while. I think that's the late 19th century. Then he wrote this story. It's called Madama Butterfly. The story, in short, is there is a really young girl, super pretty, and she is and she's about to get married with an army guy from the Navy, from the U.S. And what happens there is actually that the marriage is arranged by another person, and that's another one of our characters, played by
Goro, Peter Ong.
Yeah. He will be Goro. It's one of a really cool character because he's super annoying, and he's like kind of like the marriage broker there. But he just wants money, and that's the truth. And the story goes, they get married, they got into problems because in order for her to get married, she renounces her own religion, and then the family finds out. And it becomes a huge mess. And then Pinkerton, who is the Navy guy, he leaves. And that's what's happening in Act 2. Act 3, actually, I'm not going to say much because I like keeping the tension so people can be like, okay, what will happen there? Mm-hmm. But it's a very heartbreaking story because we could say that the whole second act, Chocho-san is just waiting for him to come back and telling stories. They are kind of running out of money. After such a lovely first act, there is a conflict in the middle of the first act, but it's full of like passion and love, and it ends up with them like having a nice time together. Like finally they got married. Second act is all this limbo thing, like what's going on, what's going to happen. And third act, we will see you next week, and then you will see what happens there.
Yes, but I think it's safe to say it's not a happy third act.
No, it's heartbreaking, but it's worth it to see and to see it a couple of times. And actually, I wanted to emphasize on that because we have two casts. So we have Cecilia, we have Evelyn, and we have Jin-Hin Pinkerton, and we have Solomon, another Pinkerton. And they are going to bring two different interpretations of the opera. So I know it sounds like I'm trying to sell tickets, but no. I'm actually telling people that it's worth it because you will hear two different takes on the same story. And sometimes the tempos, the speeds change and all of that, and we all adapt. And that's pretty cool because that's what we do, live music. So it's worth it to, if people who are coming, they can, it would be great, yeah.
And, of course, Cecilia, you're playing Chio-Chio-san, and you're sharing the role with Evelyn Tho, right?
Yep, yep.
How did you come upon this part, or how did this part fall on you?
How? Oh, I just got informed by the producer,
Danny and Sun Yun, they said, this year we would like to have you in the opera production. Would you like to sing Cho Cho San? I said, of course, with no second thought, yes.
And what is it like to be playing Cho Cho San? I mean, she was played by greats like Maria Callas and it's also a character that's sort of a young girl that's going through some really difficult things. What is it like to play this character?
Well, I think in some extent, I have gone through the stages of Cho Cho San, but I survived. But the difficulty is for me to interpret Cho Cho San is I have to back to 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's actually 15 years old during the whole first act.
Yes, every time when I sang that phrase, I'm 15 years old, I feel so embarrassing.
We're all 15 in some part of us.
Yeah, but I do believe that for Puccini, he needs a very mature life, a mature sound voice to sing Butterfly in the second and third act. So the difficulty for me is the switching emotion from first act to second and to third, that I have to handle my emotion. Mm-hmm. And I have to handle it so naturally, and then it's not so, what we call, immaculate, it's fake.
Is it actually more challenging to do the first act where you have to play Cho Cho San in a much more sort of that young girl first falling in
love? Not now anymore, because I have worked with Maestro Juan, and he has given me some ideas to how to you sing when through voice, through interpretation in singing. Then I can sense how should I interpret this role.
Mm. Yep. Samantha, this is going to be your first stage performance in Malaysia. Tell us about the role you play.
I'll be playing Suzuki, and then Suzuki is the maid of Cho Cho San. And then we were both geisha, but Cho Cho San is prettier, and then so she got chosen.
In real life, she's prettier than me.
But anyway, and then Suzuki is like a sister with her. But in Japanese culture, you always the hierarchy is very obvious. Then once you are a maid, you are always a maid. So sometimes especially when we are getting poor, we don't have a lot of money anymore, and then I get a little bit paranoid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I started to, talk more harsh and then louder. But of course, when I do this loud talking, Cho Cho San would stop me, because
she's still the boss.
She's telling me that I am still your boss, and of course I understand. Yeah, and well, it can be also a shadow of Cho Cho San, because the geisha who has been chosen and who has been not.
Sure.
Yeah. You can tell the difference how they are going to end up with a rich husband, or if she doesn't get a husband, she's going to be a maid.
Samantha, for yourself, actually, you're originally from Sabah.
Yes, I am.
But you've been in Hong Kong for the last about 12 years.
Yes.
How did you end up playing Suzuki in this production?
Well, that's a very long story. I studied in Hong Kong, and I started my singing career there with Opera Hong Kong and Hong Kong Philharmonic. And then I started to do competitions all around the world. And then there is ASEAN vocal competitions 2 years ago in Singapore, which is organized by the Singapore Lady Opera. And I won that competition. And then our producer, Danny, was in the audience.
I see.
So that's become my new boss. But I'm actually very, very happy to be back and work with so many.
Well, I'm sure we'll all be very excited to see
musicians and director, because every team members, you have different chemistry. Mm-hmm. You work with people from Hong Kong, you have another kind of chemistry work with. But one thing I'm sure is we have a lot of makan time here.
it's the Malaysian way.
That's the Malaysian way. Exactly. Yeah.
So what makes Madama Butterfly so revered when it comes to opera? Why is it, you know, it's called the most stage opera, you know, one of the most popular operas. Why?
This opera is, yeah, definitely it's on the top 10. And Puccini's operas, I think 4 or 5 of them are in the top 10. I think this one is very special and at the same time very difficult because it's, I mean, the name of the opera is the character, Madama Butterfly. And honestly, she doesn't stop singing. I mean, it's go and go and go and go. She goes to sleep a little bit during the second act and that's it. And then she comes back even crazier and more upset and intense. So yeah, like this is one of those roles that had been immortalized by the big divas in history, and I'm very happy we are doing it here, and I'm very happy Cecilia is doing it because
thank you.
Yeah, we always had that in the back of our minds, so we made it happen.
Well, we do need to go for a break now, but when we come back, I'd love to hear more about the process of putting the show together.
Okay.
I'm speaking to performers Cecilia Yap and Samantha Chong and conductor Juan Montoya, who are all involved in a local staging of the Puccini opera, Madama Butterfly. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to performers Cecilia Yap and Samantha Chong and conductor Juan Montoya, who are all in a local production of Madama Butterfly, the acclaimed opera by Puccini. Cecilia, you know, you're playing this big diva role, like one of those classic opera roles. Mm-hmm. What is it like to sing this part? You know, as Juan said, you practically don't stop singing from the time it starts to till it ends.
Yeah, but of course, we, in the real production, in a real performance, I have to sing nonstop in 2 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. Right?
More than 2 hours.
Really? But while we are rehearsing, and I thank to Juan, maestro, that he gave me a lot of space that I do the marking. So I save my voice.
Oh, yeah. You have to be careful. Yeah. In opera, that's called marking because, I mean, she literally sings almost 2 hours plus. And if every rehearsal she does that, she won't have voice at the end. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are the musical styles and influences that are present in this particular opera?
The style is very clear here. Puccini is one of the principal characters in a style called Verismo. Mm-hmm. Verismo actually means verità, like means reality. So it's one of those operas that started going away from like epic stories and like fantastic things, and they actually wanted to talk about real people. So we have operas, big hits from Puccini, La Bohème, Madama Butterfly, Tosca is a bit, again, going back to stories, but Bohème and Butterfly are really, really in contact with people. Like, you can feel identified with any of the characters. You could be this guy or this girl or the boss or the servant or, I don't know, maybe the bad guy, I don't know, who knows.
How does Puccini bring that feel of Nagasaki, of Japan in that particular era, into the music?
He does it in many ways. Talking about more technical language, he uses a lot of the pentatonic scale, which is a news that is kind of silly because it's like, okay, din, 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 din. So, yeah, that's like the most obvious use, yeah. But you can really feel it. And another thing I wanted to mention is how he mixed not only that Asian pentatonic sound with the Italian verismo that he's exploring, thick orchestration, plus the American anthem. In this opera, you will hear the American anthem, sections of it, probably, what, like 4 times? Mm. Like 2 times is like really like, okay, I can hear it. But there are, I think, another 3 times where you can hear it like kind of hidden. And that's because I guess Puccini's kind of trying to push buttons. They're like, okay, this is the American guy who came and mm-hmm. stole this girl's honor because he left. He didn't take it with her. And as a historical fact, this opera was banned for a while during World War II.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, mm-hmm. because the conflict in the Pacific, mm-hmm. like the U.S. was fighting with Japan, and the U.S. had these issues with Japanese people in the U.S. And yeah, I don't want to go too deep into that, but the opera was banned for a few years. I'm not sure how many, but you couldn't perform it there. And then, yeah, everything got better again, so it came back to light.
As the conductor of the production, how do you bring the music to life during this particular staging?
This is the third time I'm doing Butterfly.
Ah.
So I love it because it's one of my favorite ones. And also, every staging is different. So sometimes you have to wait longer for this character to catch this mirror or this thing. Remember we were talking about when you're taking things out of the box. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes slow. And outside, we were talking about some invisible props, you were saying?
Yeah. So, yes, the invisible props. We have to mime it. For example, there will be a mirror for is that, it's in Cho-Cho-San's wedding gift. She brought mirror and
handkerchief.
The pipe.
The belt.
Yeah,
about and what else? And
but we don't have matches. Like everything.
Yeah,
the actual props for it. So sometimes we just have to mime it a bit.
And also the stage is kind of open, so I don't think there are many walls and things like that. So as a conductor, you have to get used to that because in other productions, see, if somebody knocks the door, there is actually a door,
yes.
And somebody knocks a door. And so here, I'm still trying to identify when the door is, so if I have to do the door or if somebody does it. So all of these things, you adapt. So that's very normal because every production is different, not only because of the singers, but also because of the stage director, Amelia Tan in this case. So. Mm-hmm. She's doing a great job, and then we just adapt.
I think one of the interesting things is that the role of Cho-Cho-San is being played by two different actresses. Mm-hmm. Did you both sort of discuss it in advance, or are you kind of doing separate versions?
Because I think my character is quite different from Evelyn. Mm. For example, yesterday we have gone through some rehearsals, staging rehearsals. And our director has mentioned something to me that I should move more like a Japanese geisha. What does that mean? This is implying that I might interpret in a quite Western way, big actions. So that's difficult for me. And I have to adapt to it. And she said that you have a powerful voice, but you have to put everything together, integral. It's difficult. So it's a challenge to me. Where Evelyn, I think she is naturally born a Cho-Cho-San character, which is a very sweet character, beautiful voice also. Yeah, so we have both of us have our own interpretation, and Maestro Juan have to adapt to us. So this one is the type A Cho-Cho-san. This is type B Cho-Cho-san.
And I think this is easier for singers as well.
Yep.
Because it comes from your own interpretation. Mm-hmm. 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 You are not acting as someone else. Yeah. It's just part of you being taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, though, as Suzuki, you are one of the characters that has the most interaction with Cho-Cho-san.
Yes.
And you have to play with two Cho-Cho-sans.
They're quite different.
Yeah. What is that like? How does that also change your performance?
This is my second Suzuki. And being with teacher Cecilia is a little bit different. Because
I give you a difficulty.
No. It's because last time when I first played Suzuki, my colleague, only a few years older than me. Mm-hmm. And this time, too, Evelyn is also... So I think Evelyn and I, we are acting like more sisterhood. Mm-hmm. But with Miss Cecilia, I think it's like a big sister. Mm. Yes, that's a little bit different.
And to do that within the same production, because mm-hmm. you're not talking about, okay, I do this and then 3 months later with a different actress. It's literally like you do a few nights and then yeah. the next night you have to shift.
Like switching right away.
Yeah,
that's the challenging part and also the fun part of doing live mm-hmm. operas. Mm-hmm. Human is very special. Mm-hmm. When you talk to somebody, you talk to person A, you react differently, and then person B, you react differently. So I think that's the... I really, really like the chemistry on stage because mm-hmm. you don't know what will happen next. I mean, of course you know, but yesterday mm-hmm. I was crying.
Yes, I saw her
and
crying.
And I didn't know why. It just comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that moment, I just felt like I have to do it.
Yes.
In what way does this particular staging of Madama Butterfly change or reinterpret the original version? What is unique about this particular staging?
I think, I think most people know that Puccini is quite a perfectionist.
Oh, yeah. He writes everything. Every single detail.
Yes, even when Suzuki is going to close the shoshi, mm-hmm. the shoshi is a Japanese sliding door, or when Suzuki is making a tea. Mm-hmm. Like, from Suzuki's point of view, it's very different. Mm-hmm. When Act 2, when the shopless, the American, and when he was in our house, and then I was supposed to be making tea outside. But I think that Emilia, maybe she wants the intimate relationship to be shown between Chosho-san and Sharpless. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the, the difference.
Sharpless is the consul in the American consul mm-hmm. in Nagasaki. So he's kind of the friend of Pinkerton.
Yeah, mm-hmm. maybe this is like the different... choice, different interpretation of the director.
I was trained in Italy, and the way of how I portrayed the roles is quite Italian. Mm. So, and even though we sing in other Oriental roles, it's still an Italian way. Mm. But Emilia has put everything in an Oriental way. So I think this is genuine Oriental production in a way.
I was going to mention that because I told you it's my third Butterfly, but it's the first time that actually like the people from Nagasaki will look Asian. in my eyes, that's kind of cool because it gives a lot of authenticity, mixing it with the Western music and for me, it's very interesting in a very positive way. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, she has input a lot of the elements of the steps and how you raise your hands, how you say thank you. Mm-hmm. It's all the culture, the gestures that I've never gone through. So So when I practice that, they say that's too much, too big, the action is too big. So I have mm-hmm. to try to adapt to that. Yeah.
And she talks to us like a lot. We exchange points of views, and that's which is very important.
This because, is Emilia Tan.
Yeah, yes. Emilia Tan, yes. Our director.
Yes, very good director.
Yeah.
And I also understand that you are doing a family day that you're going to present a sort of abridged version of the opera.
Yes.
I can see how it would be really exciting, but at the same time, I'm wondering, you know, Madama Butterfly for children? Like, how do you do that? What parts do you put in? And
because there is always happy moments, like when Butterfly get married. Yeah. And for example, when we use flowers, flower petals to shower the house.
Mm-hmm. No? I just back from Italy recently, and I met Tito Gobbi's daughter, the great late baritone, Italian baritone's daughter. And she told me that she recently has founded an opera company, Magia dell'Opera, Magic of Operas, to introduce operas to the kids from age 5 to 16, I think. So I say, "What? Why you want to do that? Why is it so important to do that?" And she told me something that the children, the teenagers nowadays, they are related to the IT world.
Smartphones and
computers.
Yes,
and yeah. They don't understand what is human love. They don't understand the sadness, the happiness.
Emotions.
Emotion, passion, affection, and compassion. Everything they don't have. So this is important to reintroduce, bring the children back mm-hmm. to the real love. Bring the children back to the life. Let them understand this is a process of a, in a human life, human circle. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Art.
That's yeah. verismo, yeah. reality.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, opera is often viewed as being quite difficult or inaccessible. So when you put on something like Madama Butterfly, do you hope to attract an audience that's not already an opera-going audience?
Of course.
I think that's the aim of any artistic mm-hmm. like representation, because, of course, we want to give something new to the people who already know it, but I think it's important to engage new people. And it doesn't matter if they are old or middle-aged or super young. It's just like we want to show the people that, first of all, it's going to be a very beautiful production, and we want to really like shake their emotions. And the music is already very, very well written for that. So, and the staging is going so well. The singers are doing amazing. So, I mean, when they sit there, everybody will love opera. And sorry for everybody, will cry so much. Like, even happening in rehearsals with us. And I have been in rehearsals in Europe too when I'm conducting, and the person is crying for real, and you're like, okay, I just have to keep going. But I mean, if that's how we react, can you imagine like the audience seeing everything, and you're kind of trying to like, okay, I wish this has another different end. But so that's how you engage new people, I think, with strong emotions. So it could also be funny in a really, really funny way that, you know what, I feel identified, I like this. Or it could also go the other way, when something is very sad, but true, human, then you engage people that way too.
And although we are singing in Italian, but we will have subtitles with Chinese and English.
So everybody will get what's going on here.
And I'd like to hear what each of your favorite scenes or sequences or pieces to sing might be.
Mine would definitely be the flower duet.
Oh, really?
Oh, you like it? Good.
It shows a sisterhood so much, mm-hmm. and the voices entwining together, mm-hmm. like all the time. And it's so beautiful. A lot mm-hmm. of harmonic change, but it's just, you can really like feel the flower petals are coming down. So beautiful.
Yeah, what happens in that scene is that that second act, mm-hmm. towards the end of the second act, and what's happening is Suzuki and Chocho-san hear a cannon in the port, and that means a ship is coming. They mm-hmm. found out it's Pinkerton's ship. Mm-hmm. So many years have happened already since he left. A few years, like
three years.
Mm-hmm. And then, so can you imagine the excitement? I mean, yeah. Chocho-san has literally been in the window waiting for him for 3 years. And then that flower duet she's talking about is beautiful, not only because of the actions, but the music.
There's and, hope, finally.
Yeah,
there's
and hope. They literally put petals everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's preparing the house for Pinkerton's arrival.
Mm-hmm. Makes it look like a house in spring season.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we really have flower petals yes. all over mm-hmm. it. Very we are not nice. Miming it.
Oh, so that one you're not miming.
No.
And what about Cecilia?
Oh, music. I love the butterfly's entrance. When she came, when she comes in, the music is so beautiful. In fact, that's my favorite aria in in Butterfly. Yeah,
good to know.
And for the scene, I think that's in the last act. There is a scene that I was placed between many roles, many characters, and it's a juggles of feelings from. It's a drastic emotion changing inside in her mind. So it's difficult, and it's not difficult. It's to me, it's the real life. I have to really engross, put myself into the action, and then really think of the words and understand her feeling, his feeling, and the reaction. And we have to exchange idea, but without words, just by eyesight. So that's, for me, is the best part of it.
Mm-hmm. And Juan?
Oh, I have to pick a scene too, but I'm not singing. For me, my favorite scene in Butterfly has always been the letter scene. There is a section when Sharpless, the consul, comes to Cho-Cho-San's house with a letter from Pinkerton. Mm-hmm. And he gives the letter to her, and then she's like, okay, I don't know how to read, because it's in English. She doesn't know how to read English. But she's excited. It's like, oh, he finally wrote to me, blah, blah, blah. And then Sharpless is kind of like heartbroken because, okay, I don't know what to do, breaking the news, blah, 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 because the letter is not good news.
Yeah.
And I love the music, and it's the music, the singing, the lyrics, the reaction, the polarity of the whole thing, because it's like happiness and then, oh, and the music is wonderful. Like how the music takes you through that roller coaster of emotions is amazing. Yeah.
Well, I've been speaking to the performers Cecilia Yap and Samantha Chong and conductor Juan Montoya. They're all in a local staging of the opera Madama Butterfly, presented by the Kuala Lumpur City Opera. The show is on from the 22nd to the 25th of November at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre. And there's also a family fun day performance that's showing on the 24th of November. Tickets are priced from 108 ringgit to 168 ringgit and are available from ticketpro.com.my or from the KL Pack box office. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.